So we are concluding our time, our series, looking at our community. It's kind of interesting because this, just to bring you into how I operate around sermons and messages, I spend a time early, or actually late in the year, around December, in prayer, in study, in solitude, in preparation. God, what would you have us speak on? What topics, what passages would you have us speak on? A year in advance. And so this was always the plan, to speak on this is our community and the texts that we're looking at. But I find it particularly interesting that we're talking about this now. Well over a year ago, I certainly did not have a revelation from God on high that you are to speak on this because in 2020 this is going to happen and everyone is going to go crazy and we need to be reminded about what true community looks like. However, it is what it is. Welcome to 2020. And so in week one, just as a recap of where we've been, we looked at how God commanded the Israelites to support those people within their communities, the Levites, the widowed, the orphans, the foreigner. Later we saw how they were to be entrusted to the people, to their community. They are entrusted to you. Later we saw how Jesus said of the two greatest commandments, one was to love your neighbor as yourself. And we brought that into our world today. What does that look like to take care of those in our community, to view the people, every individual in our community as if they were entrusted to us? How would that adjust our behavior, our prayers, our thoughts, if we viewed them as God has entrusted them to us? In week two, we read how God called his people to seek the peace and prosperity of this nation who brought them into exile, the Babylonians. They were not allies. They were clearly enemies. And yet while they were in exile, God commanded the people of Israel, pray for them. Pray for their peace, pray for their prosperity, build your homes, build gardens, have kids, marry them off, live your life seeking the peace of the Babylonians. And like that situation, we saw how you and I, we are to pray for the peace and prosperity of our community, of everyone involved. Last week, we had some of our Gilead Christian School teachers and staff with us, and we talked about the body of Christ. And the words from Paul to the church in Rome. And how, like the human body, the church is made up of many different parts, but those different parts all have the same goal, which is to keep the body healthy. And we saw how, like the human body, we, the church, we are made up of many different parts with different opinions and different abilities and talents and thoughts. And yet we all ought to have the same goal. And we also saw in this letter to the Romans that each part of the body, again referring to the church, belongs to all the others. We belong to one another. And so this week we're going to conclude this series by looking at a similar text from Paul. However, it's not to the Romans, it's not to the Christians in Rome. He wrote to this gathering of followers of Jesus in the city of Corinth. Now, this gathering, we could call it a church. This church in Corinth had more than its fair share of problems. This gathering of Christians, the Corinthians, they were divided over so many different issues. And this letter that we have in our Bible, in our New Testament, we've titled it 1 Corinthians. This is Paul's written response to the reports that he has heard, right? So these people come and visit Paul, and they say, hey, so what's the update with the churches that you've planted? And it's like, well, those people in Corinth, well, and they give him the report. And also, this gathering, this church in Corinth, had written Paul with their questions. Right, so we're following Jesus now and we're living in this pagan city. So how do we navigate living life following Jesus in the kingdom of God while we are living in this kind of world? They wanted his help in how to sort these different things out. At the very beginning of 1 Corinthians, Paul attempts to iron out their division over which leader they prefer to follow. Apparently, there were a number of leaders, speakers, you could call them pastors or teachers, who had been in this gathering, and the church, the gathering, had divided over which one they prefer, which one they connect with, and which one they're like, oh, if only so-and-so were back, or if only we had never... It was this division, and so Paul, in his wisdom, tries to iron out that it really doesn't depend on who the speaker is. God is the one who planted it. God is going to be the one who watches it grow. Then after he tries to iron that division out, Paul dives into the fact that these Christians in Corinth are fighting with each other, saying horrible things to and about each other, calling them names. They're even dragging one another to court, suing each other. There was blatant sin in the church that was just widely accepted, and everybody was like, okay, that's fine, I guess. There were arguments in the church over who was the greatest among the gathering, who should have the best seat when they gather. And so it's Paul's answer to all of these things, these reports that he has heard about this church in Corinth. They're arguing, their questions that they have about how to navigate these things that we're going to read this morning. And before we jump into this passage in 1 Corinthians, I want to go ahead and apologize, because you are going to hear the word body over and over and over again. It is, at least to me, it's going to become like, oh my goodness, Paul, we get it. But even though you're going to hear this word over and over again, it makes his point. So will you stand with me as we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 14. And if you don't have your Bibles with you, hopefully it'll be on the screen behind me. So here's Paul writing to the Corinthians in response to their arguments, in response to the reports that he's heard and the questions that they have had. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 14. He writes, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free. And we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, now hear this, friends, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be." Let me read that again. "But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. And as we sang this morning, that first song, I'm a Family of God, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Let's pray. Father, as we explore this text from Paul to these Christians in Corinth and how applicable it seems to bring to our time and place right now, Father, would you bring reminders for those who have grown up in the church? Would you bring a freshness from your Spirit for those of us who are maybe are new to this text? Father, would you bring challenge? Would you bring encouragement? Would you bring an openness of mind and eyes and ears and heart to those of us, including me, who hear this today? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So that's a lot of times that Paul says and uses the word body, but it's all part and parcel to his point. Once again, as he did with the Romans, the Christians in Rome, he is using the illustration of the human body and all of its many different parts as they understood it and comparing it to a gathering of Christians, calling that the body of Christ, that there are so many different parts to these gatherings. The body of Christ, church gatherings, is made up of so many different parts, but they are to function as one unit. And so, as we see, both in the passage from Rome last week and the 1 Corinthians this week, Christians need each other, no matter how different we may appear to be. Here in the passage to the Corinthians, he says, so it's forget about the Jew or Gentile, free or slave, all right? That's major differences in that period of time. He says, you're all part of this one body. As I shared earlier, how I operate in putting together topics and sermon series, this was well over a year ago, and then I find it incredibly interesting that part of this series turned out to be in response to the reality that I was witnessing and experiencing these last 7 months. And it became sort of an answer to the question that I asked myself, what kind of body do I want to be a part of? What kind of church gathering do I want to share my experiences in and with? What kind of church? What is the church to be in the kingdom of God? And I saw the answer in these passages that we've read the last 4 weeks. So I want to share a few minutes this morning and lay out the answer that I've come to. I shared a few weeks ago about the struggles that I'd been walking in these past few months. If you don't remember, I shared about how I struggled with anxiety and depression, and just a grieving spirit over the condition of the Christian witness worldwide that I perceived, and how my brothers and sisters responded to this craziness in our world. And I shared that, but the reality is, friends, it took me a long time to share that. Too long. In fact, to the point where I wasn't comfortable sharing that with the elders, that I struggled with this anxiety, this depression, this grieving of my spirit. It wasn't until September that I actually shared it with the elders. Guys, I'm dealing with this. I'm burning out. And I think as I look back and I read these passages of the body and we all belong to one another, I think it's because, and it may just be me and my bubble, and I firmly admit that I've been naive in certain things, but there, at least to me, there has been this culture in evangelical Christianity that we aren't comfortable sharing too much with others, especially if you struggle, especially if you have questions or doubts or worry. There's something about the evangelical Christian community where it's like we don't want to share that with our church brothers and sisters. Now, we may have that close friend that we can confide in, or that we can pick up the phone, or we can go and visit and have coffee with them, but when it comes to church in general, not so much. Maybe we feel like it's just, you know what, I have things to do, and I don't want to burden someone else when they ask me how I'm doing. It's just so much easier to say, hey, I'm great. This is the day the Lord has made, and go in and find my seat and get on. And we feel like it's a burden to actually tell someone when they ask, how you doing? Do you really want to know? And then even more so for me, it's this culture in our community, and I'm not talking about Gilead Friends, I'm talking about in the wider sense. It's this culture of you're the pastor. You're supposed to not have problems, and let alone let anyone know you have problems. You're supposed to be the leader. You're supposed to have the strength. God is the one who's supposed to direct you in all things. So if you share that you struggle with things, you're weak. You're not a leader. Pastors are supposed to know it all, be calm in all situations, be that much closer to God when all other churchgoers don't feel that way. You know, I actually had someone before I became pastor here at Gilead, at a previous place, there was someone who would repeatedly tell me, I have this prayer request, but I want you to pray for me because you're that much closer to God than me. And I was like, seriously? I was like, number one, you're like 8 feet tall. So, I mean, if we're going to talk literally, you're way much closer than I am. But it's not a matter of title. You're part of the church as well. We're the same exact closeness to God. But it's that mindset that we have, right? And then these words from Paul, we read that every part of this body is arranged exactly as God designed. Not only your physical body, but the church body, the church gathering. God has arranged it exactly as He wanted. And as Paul says, no one is more important than the others. Could it be, could it have been that my not wanting to receive support in my hurt was based on some bizarre held contempt of, like Paul writes here, if the ear says to the foot, I don't need you. Right? You're the pastor. You're not supposed to need others. You're an elder. You're not supposed to need assistance. So let me ask you this morning, those of you who are here in person and those of you who are watching online, do you find it difficult to share with others? Is it so much easier simply to say, I'm fine, life is great, or man, it's just crazy, but not really actually connect with one another? Do you find it difficult to actually share in life with one another? Maybe it's this thought of, you know what, I don't need anyone else. Me and God are like this, and so God is going to help me in this. Or maybe it's because of a past hurt. When you did share, you were betrayed. And so it's a thought of, I'll be a part of a church, but I'm don't ask me to share. Is it difficult for you to share with others in the church when you are struggling? So part of the question is, what kind of a church gathering do I want to be a part of? What kind of a body do I want to be a part of? It's a church in the kingdom of God that supports one another. When one part suffers, every part suffers with it. When one part is honored, every part rejoices. Now Paul writes that about suffering and rejoicing because apparently there was some jealousy in the church in Corinth. Because later in 1 Corinthians 13, just a chapter later, he's writing about love, and he says, love is not envious. It's almost directly connected to this. When one part receives honor, you celebrate that celebration with them. You don't hold them in contempt. If one person holds an opinion that's different than yours, you don't consider them evil or wrong. And then it becomes this realization. When one part suffers, every part suffers. When one part is honored, every part rejoices. It's this realization that as a body of Christ, as a family of God, as a church gathering, you are called upon to give of your time and your energy in this. Yes, it is going to be a sacrifice to be a body of Christ. It is going to call upon you to give of your time and your energy. It's like when you should put down your device or to turn off your screen in order to hear what your son or daughter wants to tell you. Have you ever struggled with that? Where it's like, man, they just won't leave me alone. But then if someone actually wants your attention, turn it off. This person is so much more important than whatever app or game or TV show you think you have to watch at the moment. The church that I want to be a part of in the kingdom of God has this mindset of whatever it is, bring it because I will be here for you. No matter how deep it goes, no matter how ugly it will become, no matter how beautiful and joyous it will be, I'm here for you. Call me anytime, email me, text me, stop by, I will be here for you. That's the kind of church body that I want to be a part of. The church that I want to be a part of is not reflective of Corporation USA. In other words, it's not based on some successful business model of how we can get more people into the facility on Sunday morning based on demographics. That seemed to have overtaken churches in this country a few years ago. If only we can get more people to come, we can follow this business model as if church is a business. Rather, my friends, the church that I want to be a part of is based on growing relationships with one another, honest to goodness, real, authentic relationships with one another. First with God, and then with others. And again, knowing in the core of who you are, it is going to take your time. It is going to take our energy to do this. And then making the decision, I will give of my time. I will give of my energy in the kingdom of God. And with that same mindset, the church that I want to be a part of understands that Jesus and the kingdom of God is far more important than anything else in this world. Let me say that again, because this is where I can get on my soapbox. It understands that Jesus and the kingdom of God is far more important than anything else in this world, and that includes politicians and political parties. I'm about to say my one statement about politics that I will say this election cycle. Are you ready? I want you to consider and ask yourself this, followers of Jesus. If the candidate who you vote for does not become the next president of these United States, will Jesus remain the king of your heart? If President Trump or Vice President Biden wins, as a follower of Jesus, will Jesus still be the king of your heart? Yes or no? Because as far as I'm concerned, it does not matter who sits in that office if Jesus is king of your heart. You see, well before the time of Israel was in exile in Babylon, well before these Christians in Corinth were just arguing and fighting with each other, to now, in 2020 USA, God sat on the throne of the universe. And so my question for you this morning, followers of Jesus, is that throne on your heart? This period of time has given us time to reflect on church culture, on the body of Christ kind of things. And so when we look at Gilead Friends in particular, and we talk about building relationships with one another and not being a USA business corporation church, well before I became the pastor here, the elders were discussing about the need to revamp the structure of how things happened here at Gilead Friends. And just this year, it was actually in the midst of the pandemic, this church body voted to approve the new structure. And it's going to be amazing. It's going to be fantastic how this new structure is fit perfectly in parcel with building relationships with one another. And it reflects, this structure reflects the two passages from Paul that we saw this week and last week. Being the body. And so now, part of the structure is we are to have elders building relationships with the church body. Identifying individuals who can be team leaders in the different ministry teams that we have around our congregation, the service that we provide. And then those team leaders, because of their relationships, identify those who will join their team and participate in ministry. And they do it together. And it's not because of some hierarchy of based on needs. It's because of relationships and enjoying doing ministry, serving one another together. This reflects the everyone is a part model that Paul promotes. Everyone is a part of the body of Christ, and God has arranged it exactly as He wanted it. It's about relationships. We need, especially in this area, in this era, we need to build relationships with one another. We need to reconnect with one another and our brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to be a part of a body of Christ, a church gathering that genuinely wants to be around each other, wants to minister to one another, with one another, and to our community that God has entrusted to us as God has called us. That's the kind of gathering I want to be a part of. Someone who is just chomping at the bit to go, who doesn't necessarily have to wait for the green light. That's like, I think this might work. And the leaders will say, amen, go and try it. We're with you. So speaking to the elders of Gilead Friends Church, your task is before you. Build those relationships. Brothers and sisters of Gilead Friends Church, the task is before you. Build those relationships with one another. In the era of coronavirus, the gift of a phone call is monumental. One of the ministry teams that we have as a result of this restructure is a team called the Spiritual Care Team. And they are made up of individuals who make connections and who pray with you and see how you're doing. They're not supposed to call you and say, why haven't you been in church? It's not the role of a spiritual care team. The spiritual care team is simply to call and say, hey, I was thinking about you. How can I pray for you? And you know what? It doesn't just have to be the spiritual care team. Every one of us in this room and watching online, every single one of us can do that. When someone pops into your mind, when you think of someone, what is stopping you from calling them and saying, it's the weirdest thing. I was thinking about you, and I wanted to give you a call. I did that this past week with one of our own, Rhonda Justice. I was like, I don't know why, but your name popped into my head, and I thought, hey, I'd give you a call. And wouldn't you know it, she was at work. Like, oh, man, sorry. Well, I'll take a break, 30 minutes, talk to your pastor. This is something that every one of us can do. Now, I would ask that you would use discretion. If their face pops into your head at 3 in the morning, best not to call. And I would say, if you get a call like that from me, one of the elders, spiritual care team member, or just someone from the church calls and they say, I was thinking of you today, and I just, how you doing? I'd like to pray with you. If you get a call like that, don't be like me and wait too long to share. Maybe it's a matter of, thank you so much for the call. Here's what's going on. And then give of your time, give of your energy to connect and pray with each other. When the church prays for one another, the body is strengthened. When you know that someone is praying for you by name, there is a strength that happens by the Spirit of God. When you are praying for someone, out of the dignity and goodness of the heart that God has given you, there is strength that comes. I want to be a part of a church where the idea of doing ministry is exciting, and it permeates the pores of everyone who calls the church their home. Whether that's in children's ministry, youth ministry, chair team, worship team, welcome team, support team, reaching people, finance and facility, whatever that calling may be, we see it as a God-given opportunity to share in the kingdom with others. And it's not bound by duty or some kind of obligation we feel like we have to do this. It's a matter of I get to serve my brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul, in this letter to the Corinthians, he writes about how no one part is more important than the other. When one part hurts, the whole body hurts. And so I was trying to think of an example of what that would be like. And just a personal experience, I don't know whether if it's high arches or something with my feet, but if I'm on my feet for too long and I don't have the correct support in my shoes, my feet hurt. Is there anyone else who has that, man, back pain or your feet? You know, it's just, there's just like this one part of your body that's like, oh, it hurts so bad. And when that happens, my entire body is fatigued. I don't want to be up and about any longer. But there was this amazing invention created. I don't know if it's like compression socks, but it's like these little pads that you slip around your foot and it creates this pressure right there in the arch. It's this little thing that you put around your feet, and I tell you, I slip those on, and it's like my entire body is at the spa. Now, full disclosure, I have never been to a spa before that I can think of, so it's just my imagination of what a spa would feel like. But it's like you just do this one little thing for your feet, and my entire body says, thank you. I want to be a part of a church, part of a gathering, part of a body, that when one part is hurting, we gather around and we love on them, distance wise or phone calls, and when there's healing, when there is this restoration that takes place, when, like that pad on your foot, the entire body feels it, gets a sense of it, and we say in one voice, Jesus, thank you for bringing this. What kind of a church do you want to be a part of? What kind of a body, a gathering? Will you stand with me as we close? Heavenly Father, in the words of Paul to the church of Corinth, we are the body of Christ, every one of us. And Father, I pray that as we navigate this time period, God, I pray that you would withdraw from each one of us any sense of offense or anger or hatred that Christians would have toward one another, toward those in our community. Father, as we've looked over these past 4 weeks at the kind of community you've called the people of Israel, and then subsequently Jesus called his community for us here in the 21st century. Father, the way many of us have been living these last 7 months is not at all the model or the direction that you had called your people to live. And Father, as we prayed last week, would you forgive us for any time we step out of bounds and sin against you with our words, with our behavior, with our treatment of one another. Father, I pray for anyone who has been hurt, who has been wounded, that your Spirit, your healing hand would be upon them, would be upon us. Would you bring restoration? If it's by way of brothers and sisters in Christ coming alongside and rejoicing and suffering with one another, Father, may it be so. Father, may we in all things rest on your grace, rest in your mercy and the forgiveness that comes only through the life, death, the shed blood, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is Him and Him alone that we bow the knee. It is Him and Him alone that we entrust with our lives, with our hearts, with our souls. Father, may we put aside division and as a body work together for the glory of your name and the kingdom of God in which we are to shine in this world. We pray this in the name and authority of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. Be blessed as you go and shine your light for Christ in any way you can this week. We'll see you next Sunday.